So pages 94 now, lesson 14 now, passage for reading and passage for translation now. Bhuta Pugmang Anyataro Janapado Bhutasi. So here again the verb at the end, Bhutasi, which quite literally means to arise, but here it means like to emigrate, is what I think Ekawada has for Bhutasi. It means like emigrate, the whole place rises up and goes basically. So emigrates, and so this is a past, this is an aorist, so it means arose or emigrated. And what emigrated was anyatro janapado, that is what arose, that is the agent here, that what did the arising or emigrating. And which means a certain country basically, or I guess a certain a country is maybe in a modern sense doesn't make much sense, maybe a certain province or something like that perhaps, a certain kind of...
He couldn't say tribe.
Possibly.
Because to say a certain country immigrated, you emigrate from a country. I don't see how a country could emigrate from itself. I mean,
yeah.
It's like...
It's a country expectation. Because I was really... I thought it was the country emerged, was what I took it to be.
Oh.
Like it formed, you know, sort of...
No, it's opposite.
Yeah, the opposite.
Yeah, it's actually... It's not
so then it was vacated.
Yeah, it was vacated in a sense. So a certain country was vacated.
I sort of thought of an Indian nation moving from one place...
Yeah, that might be a nation. Like, a nation moved. A nation emigrated.
What do you call migrant people? What do you call nomadic peoples moving?
Yeah.
But even now... You wouldn't say they
But you get the general idea.
It's strange,
what's happening?
Strange thing.
Yeah, I think the problem here is that Dhanapada doesn't really mean country. It means more like maybe a tribe, as you say, or a, you know, a certain group of people, or whatever. A nation, as you were putting it, a people maybe. Yeah.
Like maybe the Tamils did move from one time from northern India to southern India.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so we get the rough idea. So a certain people arose or emigrated. Bhuta Pubang, of course, is like formerly, once upon a time. Formerly, a certain people, a certain nation, emigrated. Attako sahayako sahayakam amantesi. Amantesi is a verb to address. And the aorist again, third person singular, he addressed. And the person who did the addressing was sahayako, so a friend addressed. And the person he addressed is the accusative sahayakam, so a friend addressed a friend. Attako, then a friend addressed a friend. Ayama sama. Here we have the verb first. Ayama means to go. And I would take this here to be an imperative. The verb goes first, but often implies an imperative. So it means something like, let's go. And sama is just dear, it's just in the climate meaning dear. Let's go, dear. Or friend, perhaps. Let's go, friend. Yena so janapado ten upasam kamisama. So he continues talking. So there hasn't been any tea yet, so he's still talking. So come, we will go. Let's go. Let's go, dear. And then he continues. Yena so janapado ten upasam kamisama. Upasam kamisama, future. We will go. We will approach. We will go. And yena so janapado is the standard construction for towards that place, that country, janapado, towards that place, there we will go. Apevanama eta kinshi danang adigacheyamati. So this is the ending of where, this is the T there at the end is where he stops speaking. And the verb on this last phrase here is adigacheyama. And this is an optative, right? You have the double Y there, optative. So it means might something, or would, or should. And adigacchati means to gain or acquire. And it's the first person plural, so it's we might acquire, is what this means. We might acquire. And what we might acquire would have to be in the patient. That is what is being acquired here. And that is kinshi. Danang is all in the accusative here. So kinshi, we have seen before, is a pronoun that's called, what are they called again, these pronouns? They're called indefinite pronouns. So it means like some, basically. Some or any. And danang means like wealth or valuable goods. perhaps we might acquire some wealth, see what he's saying there. Yeah. And then we have apevanama in the beginning, which means like perhaps. So perhaps, and then eta means something like there, in other words, that place, we're talking about there or here. Yeah. It can mean there or here, depending on the context.
And nam is nam?
Nama, that's nama. Apevanama is a construction which means perhaps. The whole construction means perhaps. It's an idiom which means perhaps. Apevanama.
But here, the key is in this case for
Eta.
So it should be in this place.
It could be in this case as well. It can be both. Eta can be either one. Yeah. Because the thing is, usually Eta means here. Now, we can't say here because we haven't gone yet. You know? So either would have to mean there, or it would have to mean in this case. So in this case, not such a bad idea, but not a bad translation, actually. Yeah. So I think either one is possible, but Eta normally means here, so when I say there, I might be misleading you a bit. Okay, so perhaps in this case we might acquire some wealth. And then he replies, evan samma ti. Evan here means roughly yes, basically. Yes, dear. Ko sahaya kasta pachasorsi. Pachasorsi is to agree or to consent. It's pati asorsi. And it is because you're consenting to somebody is benefiting from that assenting, it takes the deity, right? So first of all, you have the agent of pachasorsi, the one who does the consenting. A friend consented to a friend. Yeah, so the one who does the consenting, who says he consents, is the sahayako, the O ending there, that's the nominative. So he says that he consents, and the other one who gains the consent, who is being agreed to, is sahayakasa, the dative. So a friend consents to a friend as the dative there.
One question I have is, sama, it's a long A, and you know, at the end of the sentence, in the earlier one, it's sama with a short A.
T, because of the T. All vowels are lengthened on the T, when it's when right, T comes in a sentence. Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah. All short vowels are lengthened, all the M's are made into N's, etc.
Yeah, okay.
So he agreed, a friend consented to the friend. Te, and then te yena so janapado yen anyatra gamapadam ten upasankaminsu. Again, we have the word upasankaminsu, which means to go to or to approach. And this is the aorist here, so it's they approached. And you have the te at the very beginning, which reinforces that. The te at the beginning means they. So they approached. And again, you have the yena-tena construction here. And here you have two yenas, so it's like two separate approachings, basically. So first of all, they towards, yena so janapado, that place or that country or that nation, towards that nation, and then yen anyatrang gamapadanga, a certain village base. Padang is a place for a village or a village site, perhaps. So they towards that nation, towards a certain village site, there they approached. Right? Tat adasamsu pahutan sanam chaditan. So here you have the main verb here is adasamsu, which is the third person plural of the verb to see, visiting. So they saw, so that means. And there's no agent apart from that. But what they saw is all in the accusative here. So pahutan sanam chaditan is what they saw. The main noun here is sanam, which means hemp. Pahutan means much. And chaditan is the past participle here, acting like an adjective. It just means thrown away, abandoned. So there they saw much abandoned hemp. And the tatta at the beginning is there. There they saw much abandoned hemp. So here the past participle functions largely like an adjective. And the reason for that is because there is another verb in a sentence. When there is another verb, that is going to be the main verb. And the past participle essentially just becomes an adjective in those sentences. If there is no other main verb, then the past participle will often take the function of as a main verb. Disva sahayakam amantesi. So here you have two verbs. You have disva and amantesi. Disva means having seen. Amantesi means addressed. So having seen, in other words, having seen that is implied, having seen that. The friend addressed, the friend same as before her. And what he says is, idam ko samma pahuta sama chaditanya. And here we have, this is really an equational sentence actually, when you see it. And what he's saying here is that, dear, this is much abandoned hemp, or perhaps idam here could be seen as here. Here, dear, is much abandoned hemp. Idam sometimes has this kind of, sometimes idam does not mean this. Sometimes it has a indeclinable meaning. It means something like here or something like that. That's what it can mean in this here. Context. Here, yeah. So it could mean here. It could mean this is much abandoned hemp, or alternatively, here is much abandoned hemp.
It just has an indicative sense.
In the clinical sense.
Like an indicative sense, you know, pointing out something.
No, the word indicative is usually used for verbs, not usually used for anything else, in other words. So here it has, I would say, indeclinable sense. Tenahi sama tvancha sanabarang banda ahancha sanabarang bandisami. First verb is banda, imperative, bind. Bind. So, and then the agent here is you, right? Tvang, you, bind. Well, and then tenahi is like what it says, admonitory, I think it calls it up here. So it's a well now, dear sama, you bind. And what it's supposed to bind is sana barang, accusative. Well now, dear, you bind a load of hemp. Barang is like literally burden. I think it is directly related to the English burden. Bara and burden. You can see that's very similar kind of make of those two words.
What was tenahi?
Tenahi is like, it's like an admonition, you know. Now, you know, basically telling him to do something. Yeah. So now, you bind a load of hemp, sanavaranya, and then you have the cha, and you can see here how the cha works. There's a cha in one sentence, and the next sentence it also has a cha, aham cha sanavaranya badisami. The cha that binds the two sentences, and it comes after the first word of each sentence. The first sentence it has a tenahi sama first, which is like an initial part, and then tvancha, ahamcha. Yeah. So you bind a load of hemp, and I will bind a load of hemp. Ubo sanavadam adaya gamisama. As two verbs, adaya, having taken, gamisama, we will go. Future, right? Double S. Ama ending, first person plural. So having taken, we will go. And having taken what? Well, we having taken the sanavadam, right? Accusative. Having taken a load of hemp. And ubo here is the agent. The O ending here for ubo is actually a nominative. Could be accusative as well, but here it must be a nominative. So both, having taken the load of hemp, we will go. Evang sammatiko sahayako sahakasa patisutva sanabarang bandi. First word, patisutva, having consented. And the person who has consented is the friend, having consented to a friend, right? Sahayako. Agent, nominative, sahayakasa, datu, the receiver of the consent. So the friend, having consented to a friend, by saying, yes dear, evan sama, here evan is like yes, sana barang bandi, he bound the load of hemp. Does that make sense? Yeah? Are people happy with the, I'm going quite fast through this, I'm not sure if it is, should I go slower, or is it, are people okay with that, or? Yeah?
I'm lost anyway.
You lost anyway, huh? Okay. What if, so, yeah. Okay, I'll take that as it's okay then. Okay, so let's move on to page 95. Puchayama ahang bante kinshid eva desa. This is from the verb puchati. Here the verb is first. So presumably because it's a question, sometimes when you have a question, the order is inverted, so you get the verb first. This is probably a question. Not only is it a question, but the first word also means, may I ask? So puchati is the verb here, and you have the double y, which means it's an optative, right? So it means may ask. An army ending, the I has been elided, so you don't see the I there. The I is elided because of the ahang coming afterwards. But this should be puchayami. So may I ask? Could I ask? May I ask? Something like that. And you have the ahang afterwards, which just reinforces that. So may I ask? I'm the agent of the verb, right? Nominative there. And what he wants to ask is in the accusative, which is kinchid, kanshi, desang. And desang is like a topic. And kanshi is like, kanshi means like some, right? Some topic. So, may I ask some topic? And then bante, venerable sir, may I ask some topic? And the eva is like, just, means like just, maybe it means something like, may I just ask some point or something like that, maybe what it means. Like,
isn't eva usually this?
No, it's evang, which means this or that. Eva is either an intensifier, or it means like only or just. So in this case, I think you're probably saying, oh, I don't want to ask much, you know, I just want to ask one little point.
Just a
short point. Just a short point, yeah. Long seems like I'm done with it.
Can I ask you a quick one?
Okay. 2 hours later, yes.
Where did that kamchid come from? I've never seen it before.
That is what we saw in the last lesson. If you go to page 85, it is those down there.
So
it's the same as kinshi, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So kanshi is the same. It's just an alternative form of, okay, of kinshi. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kanshi desa. Mm-hmm. Not sure why. Why is it an A? Why is it an A there? Ko desa is a neuter kanshi. I think it is just an alternative of king, basically. King and kang.
According to Taiyo, king is neuter. Meshi and Kham is Meshi from agreement.
Nothing, none of it.
Which page are you on now?
Which is it anyway? That's our page of 73.
73, okay.
Mm. Maybe the.
Well, that's the long. Oh, Kham, yeah, must be in order.
Some topic.
Oh, of course, it's, yeah, that's right. It's the accusative, right? So it's equivalent to Tang here and Yang here. Yeah. Otherwise, it's Kham here. Yeah. So it's the accusative form, yeah.
Kham, King, Kham.
Yeah.
It's just the alternative to.
Yeah. So it's a junction form of chi. When you have an e, when you have a vowel afterwards, you get a junction consonant in between that. Make it flow properly. Chi. Yeah. Chi deva. Kan chi deva.
Yeah.
And also it's accusative, right? It's a patient.
But if it was accusative, usual, it still would count.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, deva tanha kaya chavanti. Chavanti is the verb at the end. So it means to fall away or to die. This is what devas do when they die, the chavanti, they fall away. The agent is deva, right? Because they're the ones who fall away. Deva is plural, chavanti is plural. So the devas fall away. Third person plural, present tense. And then you have tanha kaya. And that may look on the... when you first see it, it may look like a masculine plural which agrees with deva, right? Especially kaya, because it has a long A ending. But actually, the thing which gives it away is really tangha here, because tangha is that M-H-A ending is an ablative ending. So that means from this or from that. And kaya here is like body, or it means like host, right? It's the old word in English word host, like a group of... group of beings, a host of devas. So the devas fall away from that group, from that host, from that company of devas. Yeah. Yes?
A good example, kaya in a non-body sense.
Sorry?
That's a good example of kaya in a sense of doesn't embody.
Right, exactly.
What's the word?
It's like group here, like, yeah. Just conglomeration. Yeah. Ablative. Starting point. Yeah. Upadana pachaya bhavo. So here you have an equational sentence, A is B. Yeah. So Bhavo is the main nominative, yeah? So existence is, and what it is Udana Pachaya. So Udana Pachaya is a Taparisa compound. So it means condition of Upadana, right? Pachaya is condition, Upadana is clinging or attachment. So the condition of attachment. And the long A again here must be an ablative. It can't be nominative long A, because you can't equate a plural with a singular, right? You've got to have both either singular or plural there. So the long A there, ending there must be an ablative ending. So existence is from the condition of attachment or clinging here, or taking up, if you like, as in Ram Lakshmi translation, taking up for Upadana. Does that make sense?
I can understand the bhavo.
Bhavo?
Yeah.
Existence.
But what do you say that there is?
Bhakti is implied, right?
Is it implied, yeah. It's an equational sentence, right? So the verb to be is implied, yeah. So bhavo is from the condition of existence, from the condition of clinging, from the clinging condition. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that upadana achaya functions as one word in the ablative, or is it just that achaya is...
It functions like one word in the ablative, exactly. One thing, yeah. So, yeah. So that's why the first word in the compound is always the step in the stem form, like that.
Yeah.
So if you divide it up, and it depends on the type of compound you have, but if you divide this type of compound up, it gets the relationship that exists between the words. So here is condition of upadana, so it's a genitive construction, right? So it would be upadanasa pachaya bhavo, if you divide it up, which you could.
Why it's not pachayasa, upadanasa, pachayasa?
Because the compound as a whole is ablative, right? Yeah. So the pachaya is the one which has to do with the compound as a whole. Yeah. So that must be pachaya, ablative. And then within the compound, you have to relate the two words within the compound to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And here that relation seems to be the genitive case.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the, from the condition of clinging, there is existence.
Yeah.
There is existence, yeah.
And always in the compound space, just that you
turn them around.
The second word always gets
first.
No.
Gets the no. Second word.
The second word you always
change the
what do you say?
You add the
you put it at optative, or you put it in that you.
Yeah.
You,
the second word has the optative of the whole compound,
yeah.
and the case between the two words, that is what you add to the first word. So
first word has the case.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
when you divide it. Yeah.
Okay.
So the other way, upadanasa pachaya bhavo. That's how you divide it. We divide it up.
No, but when you have compound, then the second word always gets them.
Yeah. The first word is just a stem form.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
How did you translate into sort of modern English?
You would say that the condition for existence is clinging here. Yeah. You add yodu on the end of something like that. You're reading modern English.
Huh?
Oh. Let's be silly. Yeah. Okay.
Condition.
Yeah. This is from dependent origination. This is kind of the standard sequence dependent origination. You get this kind of statements. Yanuna mayam kusalam karayama. Karayama is a verb. And here again it's optative, right? Because you have a double Y and you have the ama, which is first person plural. So we might do. Kareti, karoti, we might do. And the we is reinforced by the agent there, mayang, right? It's the first person plural, it's the agent, not nominative case, we might do. And what we might do is kusalang, something good, something wholesome. And yanuna is perhaps, or something like that. So perhaps we should do something wholesome. Somebody who's getting the hang of things. What now if we were to do something wholesome? Supposing we would do something wholesome, something good. So, next one here is Nahi Bhagava Evan Padeya. So, Padeya here is again the optative and the third person singular. So, it means would speak, might say. And the one who might not say, the agent here is Bhagava. the Blessed One would not say it. And what he would not say is Evan, thus. He would not say that, in other words. It's referring back to something that's already been said. This is one of the important functions of Evan, is to refer back to something which has been said. So very often we can translate it as this or that. It's a very common way of translating Evan. The Blessed One would not say that. Nahi, not, you know, it's an intense form of saying not. Certainly, the Blessed One would not say that. Nadan, nadan ime imamha abada mutahisanti. Verb mutahisanti, they, third person plural, present tense, they will, not present future, they will arise, arise or get better. This is actually about illness, it means get better. They will not arise. And you have na in the beginning, so it becomes not arise. And there is no agent here apart from that. No, actually there is, sorry, there is ime is the agent here. And the ime often just means they as well. So the, like these ones, so they. So they will not arise. And then you have imamha abada, which is the ablative here. Imamha gives it away, the ending, there's an ablative ending. So this agrees with abada and means, so this is this illness, so it means from this illness. And dani is now. Now they will not arise from this illness. In other words, they are destined to die, basically what it means. So, now they will not arise from this illness. Te kalena kalan upasankamitva parikuchayasi. Upasankamitva, again, having approached, and parikuchayasi is the main verb here, parikuchayasi. So that is, again, the optative, and it's important here to notice that the agent here is you, because it's the C ending, so it's optative. So you should ask is what this actually means, or you should question. So what that means is that the te at the beginning there does not mean they. It's not that they should ask. The te at the beginning is actually here the patient of the sentence. So having asked, having approached, you should ask them, te. And kalina kalam is from time to time. So from time to time, having gone to them, you should ask them. That's what that means. Now, if I remember correctly, this is one of the places where Maurice Walsh gets his translation wrong, I think. Yeah. He's not 100% reliable on the translating Pali. Probably went too fast or something. Okay. Tassa evan asa ahanko pubbe daso ahoesen sohanghi etarahi tangha dasabhya mutto. So tassa evan asa. So here you have, this again is one of those constructions of thinking, because you have the genitive, and then you have evan, and then you have the verb to be. Asa is verb to be. So the genitive plus das plus verb to be is very, most usually, somebody thinking something. But here the asa, the verb to be, is optative. So in this case it means he might think thus. Quite literally, thus of him there might be, is literally what it says. In other words, he might think thus. Aham ko pubbe daso ahoesing. Ahoesing, I was. Equational sentence. I was a slave. Aham and daso are both nominatives. That's what is being quoted here. I was a slave. And pubbe, formerly. He might think thus. Formerly, I was a slave. So anhi etarahi tanga dasabhya mutto. Now here the verb is another equational sentence, and it's anhi here, I am. And so here is a strange thing. The so here is a very peculiar for Pali. The so means, of course, literally that or he. And here it actually just agrees with I. So because the I here is implied in anhi, and the so agrees with that I, it literally means that I, or he, I even. He, I, am, and what you are equating here is that I is equating with mutto, which means freed. So literally, I am freed, is what you have here. Then you have tanha dasabhya, again, which is an ablative, and both tanha and dasabhya agreeing with each other, that slavery, from that slavery, dasabhya. And etarahi is now. So now I am freed from that slavery. So the whole thing means something like this. this is from the Samanapala Sutta, you might recognize it. He might think thus, formerly I was a slave, now I am freed from that slavery. It's one of the benefits of becoming a monk in the Samanapala Sutta. Yata pana aguso sabbaso vedayata natti apinuko tatta asmiti siya. So if you take the part up to natti, first of all, there's a comma there. The first verb, natti, there isn't. So if you, that's part here, if there isn't natti, and what there isn't is vedayata, there isn't felt, anything felt. This means or experienced. In other words, there is nothing experienced, or there is there is nothing experienced. Is that what they're saying? And sabbaso, it just means absolutely or completely. So there's absolutely nothing experienced. And yata means where, and abu, so just friend, so friend, where there is absolutely nothing experienced. That's the first part there. Or friend, where absolutely nothing is experienced. Api nuko tatta asmi ti siya. Siya means might there be. What there might be is the perception or thought or the idea asmi. Remember that ti like this often has the sense of idea or perception. So here, might there be the idea asmi or the thought asmi or the perception I am. That's what it means here. And api nu, and tatta of course means there, and api is again, it just goes together with siya. So might there be there, in other words, in that case, might there be in that case the perception I am. So the whole thing means something like where there is nothing at all experienced. In that case, might there be the idea I am? Question mark. Does that make sense? In other words, can there be the idea I am when nothing is experienced? Which probably isn't quite right either. But anyway.
So you're showing.
Well, this is actually a conundrum. This is one of the things which is really difficult, because this is quite an important statement in the Digha Nikaya, and what it actually means is quite important for philosophy to answer. And this is one of the things.
Just enjoy the way you build a house of straws and then you pull the carpet out.
So, but anyway, that's close enough for now, because we just, it's still there.
If there's no sensation, can there be an I, basically?
No experience.
Can there be the perception I, but no experience?
Would that be including experience of sensation of mind experience?
No experience whatsoever. When there's absolutely no experience, can there be the perception I?
Well, wouldn't perception in itself be an experience?
But that's my point. There's probably no perception, right? There's nothing happening at all. Complete cessation.
Wouldn't think there could be.
No, besides that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Because this is from the Mahanidana Sutta, and they have this long disquisition there on the existence of an I, of a self. And the argument is, well, if nothing is experienced, can there be the perception I? And they say, no, of course not. Kina me asava. So this is an equational sentence. It equates kina and asava. Asava, I like to translate as outflowings, but many people say that influx or inflowing is better. But in the suttas, I find that outflowing seems to be more correct. Anyway, so outflowings. And kina means like exhausted or come to an end. So the outflowings have been exhausted, or the outflowings have come to an end. And me here basically means like for me. So my outflowings have come to an end, or for me, the outflowings have come to an end, or something like that. The asavas have come to an end, the taints have come to an end. There's lots of funny translations of asava available. But of the tents.
Kankers.
Kankers, that's an old, good old translation of Vasilis. Kankers, that's right. Yeah. Like boiled, isn't that what it is? Kankers, like, I think it's like similar to boiled or something like that.
Isn't it an open wound that doesn't heal? Canker?
Yeah, that's like a boil, isn't it?
Not a boil. It's working on plants. On a plant, the black outflowing from a tree.
Yeah.
And the growth that comes from that.
Yeah, kind of, it looks like a growth. It's due to bacteria.
You know, what do you call on your lip? A fever? Sometimes they're called fever blisters, you know those? Yeah. Those are also called canker sores.
Ah, okay. There you are. That's the answer. Then. Yeah.
They tend to run, right? They're open. They tend to run. They hardly heal.
Ah, okay. That's why that was used then as a translation in Kanku, because it actually does run. Because there is that sutta which talks about asavas, and it talks about asavas like an open sore pus coming out of it.
Sore.
Yeah. Nasty. Yeah. Nibbida, they call it. Nibbida towards the Kanku. Yeah. Very wise. Okay. So we get on to the next one here. Namang kochi asanena pi nimantesi. Nimantesi here is the aorist, so it is to offer. And it's the same word as the Thai word nimon, which means to offer or invite. So invite. And invite, and the person who does the inviting here, the agent, must be kochi. So anyone, or someone, or here is actually no one, because it's not kochi. So no one invited. And what they invited was me. Mang is the patient here. The ko is the nominative, right? Must be the agent. So not kochi, no one invited me. And then you have asanena, which literally is an instrumental, so literally means with the seat. And p here has a sense of even. So they didn't even do that, you know. So what kind of people are these, basically, here? Dodgy characters. So,
sorry, where's the mang? I was trying to look it up, but...
Mang is the accusative of ahang, I.
Okay.
So it is the... Did you find it on this grammar sheet?
Yeah, I didn't find it.
The way you do it is, if you go... It should be quite... You have to look at the personal pronouns. Yeah. So halfway down, on the second half... You're on the wrong half of the sheet? Yeah. And halfway down, personal pronouns. It is very difficult to also keep in mind on all the various forms of things. It is going to be very hard. It is very true. So I remember vaguely what it was like when I did this 10 years ago or whatever, no, 15 years ago or whatever it was now. Ayantu bonto. So ayantu is either come or go. It's a imperative, third person. So and. Because it's imperative third person, it's usually expressing an invitation or invitation basically. So, come, bonto is like sirs, come sirs or go sirs. Let's go sirs. Let's go sirs is the most likely meaning here. Mm-hmm. What does the translation happen?
Let the honorable ones come,
because the come is obviously the contextual meaning then, if you have the suitors in front of you. Let the honorable ones come. Sirs, let's go is another possibility. Sirs, bonto is sirs here. It's the same as bavanto. The Brahmins talking to each other. Okay, everybody happy? Let's do this last sentence here. Idda samanova brahmanova kusalam dhammam adigacheya kusalam dhammam adigantva na parasa arocheya kinhi paro parasa karisati seyatabinama puranam bandhanam chinvitva anyam nevan bandhanam kareya. So the first part here ends with adigacheya, which means to acquire again and gain. And it's an optative, and it's a third person singular, so it's he might acquire, that means. And the he here might acquire is the nominative, so it's samano or brahmano. So an ascetic or brahmin, look at the va there, you see the va, an ascetic or a brahmin might acquire. And what he might acquire must be the patient in the accusative, that's kusalan dhamma, a good quality, quite literally. A good or wholesome quality. And idda means like in this case. We're talking about here. Idda doesn't mean here in terms of a physical place. It means in this case as an example. So in this case, an ascetic of Brahmin might acquire a good quality. Dhamman here is translated, I think, in the best way as quality. Kusalan Dhamman Adigantva. Adigantva here is the, this is a very standard way how Pali runs. First of all, you have the, like the present tense, or you have an ordinary verb like Adigacheya. And then the next sentence, it starts off with a gerund of the same verb, saying Adigantva, having, or absolutely, having acquired it. A wholesome or a good quality, kusalan dhamman adigantva, na parasa arocheya. Arocheya, he should inform, again another optative, third person singular, he should inform, and then you have the na, he should not inform. And parasa here is the recipient of the information, so it's in the dative, because he gains an advantage through being informed. So he should not inform another. He should not tell another what that means. King hi paro parasa karisati. And here, this is a question, because you have the king at the beginning. In this case, this is a question. And karisati is the a future, third person singular, will do or will make. And paro is the agent here, so paro means basically another. Another will do, and then parasa again is the recipient of the action, right? The recipient of something positive, so again it's the dative. So another will do for another, or one will do for another, you would say in English, so you have to translate it, one will do for another. And then you have king here, which just means what basically, and the he is like the intensifier meaning, what is meaning for. So for what will one do for another? Or what can one do for another? I think it's probably what is actually the contextual meaning when you see it in context, that's actually what it means. For what can one do for another? What will one do for another? What can one do for another? In other words, you know, the idea here is simply that you know, you look after yourself and you can't really help other people. That's basically the idea here. Sayatapi nama puranam bandhanam chinditva anyangaram bandhan kareya. This sort of gives away his philosophy. Chinditva, having cut, and the agent here is just some person, there's no agent given. And what he's cutting is puranam bandhanam, which is an accusative, which means the old bond, or old fetter. So having cut an old bond, and sayatapi now means like just as having cut an old bomb, anyangarang bandhan kareya, he should make, and what he should make is anyangarang bandhan, which is always the accusative here. He should make another new bond. So just as if having cut an old bond, he should make another new bond. So the idea here is basically that when you don't help others, because if you start helping others, you know, even though you have gained something yourself, you're like binding yourself back again because you're helping other people. That's kind of the idea there.
So what did nama mean there again?
This is just an idiomatic expression, sayatapi nama. The whole thing just means like just as or something like that.
Okay.
The whole thing is one expression. Sayatapi nama. Okay. So, translate into Pali. I got up from my seat and left. So, getting up is vutasi. So, this would be usually here you have vutaya, which is the gerund. You have in the Pali, you always say, having gotten up from my seat, I left. So, usually it's a gerund here. So, vutaya is the gerund, and left would then be aorist. So, it would be pakaming, because the first person is singular, pakaming. And then you can put the ahang in there as the agent, if you like. So ahang vutaya pakaming, and then all that is left then is from my seat. And seat would here, because it's from, you would have from the seat, it would be the ablative, so that's asat ma, long a. And then you have my, which could be, I'm not sure if it actually is included or what, but it would be something like me perhaps. Me, it would be the genitive, my seat, right, ownership. So you have ahan, perhaps, maybe there's no ahan, maybe asana me mutaya akami, or something like that. What is actually the answer?
Utaya asana pakami.
Ah, that's all. Utaya asana pakami. Okay, so there is no my seat actually in the my is actually out. I just have gotten up from the seat. I left it. So that's a little bit deceptive there.
Well, aham they have in parentheses.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. But my is left out because my seat. There's nothing that's saying my seat. Mm. Yeah. If the philosopher Gautama should come to this assembly, we will ask him this question. So here we have two pairs, and this is a classical situation where you have the relative clause and a demonstrative clause. So you should put the relative clause first, which is basically if the philosopher Gautama should come to this assembly, that's the relative clause there. Would normally, if should come, that whole thing is very likely to be an optative, the if should come construction. So should come here is perhaps agacheya, perhaps. Agacheya means to come, and the aya ending makes optative, and you have the third person singular ending, just a, agacheya. And then the person who comes, who arrives, is the philosopher Gautama. So that is sammano Gautamo. Sammano Gautamo agacheya, and he comes to the assembly. So this assembly would be the accusative. So assembly here is parisan, and this would then probably be imang parisan. And then if at the beginning it might be sarche, so sarche sammano Gautamo imang parisan agacheya, we will ask him this question. So ask here, it says here it's optative. So we will ask would then be puchayama. And then him would be tongue, that would be accusative, and this question also be accusative. Ask always takes two accusatives, the person you ask and the thing you ask. So tongue and imman panihang, and then we, the agent here, is probably left out. So you get something like sarche samana gotamo imman parisa agacheya, tongue imman panihang puchayama.
I wondered if he could use for agacheya instead of that yena tena upasanta.
Sure.
Can you use that?
Yeah.
Upasanta,
yeah.
Approach? Because sure. I thought, well, maybe that can only be used with cities or something.
No, it can be used with anything. Yeah. Okay. Approaching anything you approach, it can be used. Yeah. What should we do now? So here is do, should do is the verb here, should do. So it's from the verb karoti. It's always optative. So it's karayama, we is the first person plural. So karayama, and what here is a very open, just making a question basically. So it's something like king in the beginning, king karayama. That's always to that one, always to it. King mayam karayama, yeah, king karayama. I should do meritorious actions. Again, should do here, and here I is the agent. So it's kareyang. Kareyang is I. So perhaps there is ahang as well. So ahang, kareyang, and meritorious actions would be the accusative. Guess what's being done. So that would be then the kusale kame. No, kusalani kamani. Is that right? Kusalani kamani. No. Punyani kamani, okay, punyani kamani, yeah. So, aham punyani kamani kareya.
Just
punyani. Okay, punyani kareya, okay. Yeah.
What were you using, kamani?
Kamani, yeah. Punyani. So he has meritorious actions as a translation for punyani, basically. Yeah, okay. Sensation is caused by contact. So this is an equational sentence. Sensation is caused. Sensation is vedana. So vedana is a feminine noun. So here we are talking about, of course, the nominative, because it's an equation sentence. Sensation is caused. I would actually say that it's better to translate this as there is sensation from the contact cause is really a better way of putting it. But so what we have here is we have the contact cause, or the condition of contact is taparisa compound, which is of course the passa pachaya. Passa is contact, pachaya. So passa pachaya is the condition of contact, right? Condition of contact. There is sensation from the condition of contact is a much more difficult translation. So basically that's all it is vedana, and then you have pachaya passapachaya vedana, basically. Passapachaya vedana, the standard kind of dependent origination statement. Passapachaya vedana. There is sensation from the condition of contact, is how you would translate it quite absolutely literally. So there's an equation there between the verb to the agent of the verb to be, there is, and then that is equated with vedana, there is sensation, and then you take the whole phrase passapachaya apart from that, and that literally means from the contact condition, from the condition of contact. There is sensation from the condition of contact.
Maybe I didn't do my dictionary work well, but what was the upadana pachya earlier on? You said it was attachment.
Yeah, attachment, taking up.
Craving?
Craving is due to tanha, right? Yeah.
Clinging.
Clinging, yeah. Grasping. Yeah.
Okay, from craving arises attachment. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Clinging,
yeah. Fuel is upadana, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuel, precisely. Yeah, the fuel for. You should explain it as it pleases you. So now, this is a classical way, a classical case where the Pali has a relative clause and a demonstrative clause, and it will turn it around. It goes, as it pleases you, so you will explain it. That's how it goes. So as it pleases you goes first. And pleases in Pali is kamati. Kamati, so as is usually yatta. And kamati will be kamasi because it's as it pleases you. So in other words, you as it. No, wait a minute. No, maybe not. No, kamati as it pleases. Kameya. Yeah, it's her person singular. So it pleases you. So you is actually the beneficiary of the pleasing. So because of that, you should probably be in the dative. Is that right?
So yes, it says yata te.
Kameya. Yeah. Exactly. So I got it right. So you should be the dative. Te is the dative here. So you, the dative of you. So yatta te kameya, right? As it pleases you. And it here is just it pleases. It's just whatever pleases you. So yatta te kameya, as it pleases you. You should explain it. So in other words, in that way you should explain it. So you should explain it. Is via kareyasi. You should explain it. And it is tongue. So tongue via kayarasi. So yatta te kameya, tongue via kareyasi. Is that right? Roughly? Mm. Yeah.
They use the atra tatra as well. You just have it here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
the tatra te ka.
Well, that's one of the options in brackets.
We would invite him to sit down. So we would invite is the verb, the main verb in him. And so to invite is nimanteyama. It's an optative because you have the would and it's we, so it's ama. So nimanteyama. And him would be tongue. So tongue nimanteyama. And to sit down, I guess, is it just asana or
Asanena,
or with a seat, right? Okay, we invite him with a seat, right? Okay, you have to sit down. Okay, so it's a bit tricky to translate as to sit down because it literally means we invite him with a seat in the Pali. Of course, that doesn't make sense in English, but still, it's hard to see the connection there. So so tang asanena nimanteyama. There will be an eclipse of the moon. So there will be, this is an equational sentence of the verb to be there. So there will be is bhavisati, third person singular, bhavisati. An eclipse here is, what is an eclipse again here?
Sure.
Chandagaho. Oh, Chandagaho, that's right. Chandagaho. Nipri means the grasping of the moon. So actually the whole thing there means the tips of the moon, I think. Chandagaho. So Chandagaho Bhavisati is, I think, the whole thing there. Yeah. So Chandagaho, Chanda is moon, Gaho is grasping or taking. Yeah. So literally means there will be a taking of the moon. Yeah.
Is some god or deva or
Rahu.
Rahu.
The Asura Rahu, he comes and he eats the moon, and then he lets go, and then it eclipses over. Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea they had.
Yeah. Rahu's mouth.
It's one of the tortures. Yeah.
Rahu's mouth. I wonder what that is.
Some of the best not to wonder about those things.
Yeah.
Pretty gruesome.
Which one is it? You told us the other one.
I can't remember that one. I can't remember this. Yeah. I always remember the porridge pot. That's what I remember.
Extravagant. All the work there.
There is nothing here. So there is nothing. Is it probably ati and nothing? And nothing. There is nothing here. Nati. Idda nati.
Nati eta kinti.
Nati eta
kinshi.
Kinshi. Ah, okay. Yeah, kinshi nati. Okay, so of course, because there's nothing. It's one of those pronouns. Indefinite pronouns. So nati kinshi. And then here, eta. Okay, yeah. Nati eta kinshi, yeah. Or nati eta kinshi, or whatever, yeah. Nati often goes in front. That's a quite a difficult one, actually, to get it right, I have to say. The priests would banish the priest from the city. Now, that's an easy one. Would banish is, again, that is the same as the going forth. So it is pabbajaya, and it would be pabbajayam. No. What is it? Plural again? Papajayong. Okay, Papajayong, yeah. And the priests are the agents, that's Brahmana, masculine plural, Brahmana. And what they banish is the priest, that's Brahmanang. So Brahmana, Brahmanang, Papajayong, from the city, so that would be Abhatim Nagara. So Brahmana, Brahmanang, Nagara, Papajayong. Yo.
Okay, Nagara. Yeah. How are you supposed to find it? So what I did was I finally, as a last resort, I used this, but then it had like five different variations. So I picked the last one and I got the wrong one. But
I mean, for the ablative you mean that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that word. So yeah. Can you say, if there are five variations, could you say, well, you could use any of them and it'd be right?
Well, the thing is that most of these nouns, they have this kind of standard inflection. There's a standard effect. And the standard average inflection is the long A ending. For those nouns. Yeah, that's a standard one. So when you look in this table, usually the first one given is usually the one you want to use. Usually. Okay. So let's see here.
I found it, at least.
You found it? Yeah, good. No, well done. That's a good start.
That was a start. Then for some reason I picked the last one.
Yeah. So
roll of the dice.
What? I think he's quite systematic as an Anatusada, so he has actually put the most important ones first.
So that's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one other question I forgot to ask. When I said, you know, upasankamati, if the philosopher Buddha would come, and then it's optative, it says for ask.
Yeah.
But later, you know, and I thought the first verb should not be an optative, because it was a mix, and later they say both verbs often later for a different one. So the question is, can you use two
different tenses?
Yes.
In the second sentence they have.
Yes.
You could, you can. You could have the first one to be opposite the second one. Future, for example.
It says optative for the second one.
Yeah, but that's the one which is in doubt, because it has willas, it sounds like a future. Yeah. Whereas the first one, should come, it sounds very opposite, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that is almost guaranteed opposite, because it has a should come there.
Okay.
I would say.
That was the question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.